Good morning, Midland First. I am Reverend Bethany Maciejewski, the Associate Pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church, and it is a gift to be with you this morning and a gift to worship our God together, whether we are in the sanctuary or worshiping online. We have a few announcements for you this morning, and Pastor Jeremy is going to go ahead and start us off.
Good morning, friends. Indeed, it is good to be with you. Just have two announcements I'd like to highlight this morning. The first is that our Lenten dinners and study are underway. So just want to remind you, there's still time to join in, whether you're looking to dive deeper into the Lord's prayer study that we are doing and basing our sermon series on throughout Lent. Or maybe you're simply looking for a place to head out for a midweek meal and to connect with others in the church. Want to invite you to that time together. So there's the small group studies that take place at 4 and 6 o'clock, and then the meal from 5 to 6. No need to sign up for dinner, just show up, and if you enjoy it enough, there might be leftovers to take home. So just a great opportunity to connect with others and to be purposeful and to go through Lent in a meaningful way. Want to highlight that for you this morning. Also, you'll find in our bulletins this morning an announcement regarding an open staff position here at the church. That is the position of video tech. This is a paid part-time position whose primary responsibility is to lead our video ministry team in supporting the church's live stream of worship services here at the church. As you might imagine, that is a vital ministry of the church today in offering virtual worship, not only for those who might wish to worship virtually, but also as an opportunity to catch a glimpse into the church before visiting perhaps in person. So if you have gifts and abilities in this area, or perhaps you know somebody who does, encourage you to reach out to the church office for more information. In the meantime, want to thank our video ministry team for, along with Brian Gulliver, for all their efforts to keep this ministry going as we seek to fill this position. So I encourage you to be mindful of that opening in our work to fill that position on the church's staff. Thank you. Pastor Bethany?
Thank you, Pastor Jeremy. I would like to remind you of the town hall meeting that will take place today after worship in our chapel. We will be discussing the 2025 budget, some projects that the facilities team is taking on, and the final healing report from the Lombard Mennonite Peace Center. And there will be time for question and answer throughout our time together. So I encourage you to come and to stay and to listen and ask questions.
Would you stand as you are able and join me in the call to worship? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Soften our hearts, O God, that we may open our hands and give you back this life of ours, which finds its beginning and end in you. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, the author and perfecter of our faith. We can trust that his will is truly what is best. Come, Lord Jesus. Teach us what it means to be citizens of heaven and help us to know you as our true delight.
If you would, remain standing and turn to your hymnals, or the words will be on the screen for Be Thou My Vision.
Thank you. So as the kids are coming up, we know that tomorrow is St. Patrick's Day. And I just want to mention that St. Patrick was a man of great faith. He wanted to be a priest so much that he went to school to learn to read, even though he was almost an adult and way taller than everybody else. After that, he cared a lot about helping other people become readers. Now, one of our Sunday school students said a long time ago, I just don't really get this Holy Spirit thing. And every adult in the Sunday school room turned to her and said, we don't either. It's a mystery. It's hard. And so when people asked St. Patrick about the Holy Trinity, he picked up a shamrock. At least this is the legend. He said something like this. There are three leaves in one shamrock. That is like the Holy Trinity. Three in one, or one in three. And the Holy Trinity is God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Then, because God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are love, the leaves are shaped like hearts. Nice lesson there from St. Patrick. And I would consider St. Patrick maybe one of Jesus's disciples. And today we're going to learn about the first disciples. Many were fishing when Jesus called them. Another was counting coins. But no matter what, when Jesus called, each did the same thing. They left what they were doing and followed him. Maybe more for the adults, but for you guys too. I understand the word disciple means learner. Seems like a lifelong commitment to learn about Jesus. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for eyes to see your world, ears to hear your word, and hands to do your work. Help us to follow your son, Jesus. Help us to share you with others. Amen. And we can go to Sunday school. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Joyful Bells. In their anthem, there's a reminder, yes? Of the abundance of God's grace. We encounter that grace on the highest of mountaintops. We encounter that grace in the most difficult of valleys. And we encounter that grace even in the shadows of death. For we can know and still see the light of the resurrection. And so I appreciate being reminded that it can be well with our soul, no matter what season we find ourselves walking through. And it's out of that abundance of grace that we give back to God. We give back to God in our worship. We give back to God through our giving of tithes and offerings. We give back to God through our prayers and our presence, our gifts and service, and our very witness for Jesus Christ. And so we take time in our worship for the collection of our tithes and offerings. If you're a guest of the congregation this morning, this is one of your first times here, I invite you to sit back and to be reflective of this grace that we just spoke about and heard about this morning. If you're a member of the congregation or have been coming for some time and are supporting the church through your financial giving, please know that we are appreciative of your support of the mission and ministries of the church and of this congregation. So at this time, I invite our ushers to please come forward.
Thank you. God, we praise you as the one from whom all blessings flow. And we pray that you would provide your blessing and pour your blessings upon these gifts that we offer you through the offering plates and through our lives in the week to come. Lord, may you use them that others might know your will and your way in their lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As we continue the series on the Lord's Prayer, our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. This Sunday, we read from the King James Version. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
The reason I chose the King James Version for our scripture passage today is because in his book, The Lord's Prayer, Adam Hamilton draws out the emphasis of the words thy and thine as he writes about the second petition in the Lord's Prayer. Whose kingdom is it? Whose will is to be done? Not mine, not ours. Hamilton reminds us in his second chapter that we fix our hearts on what we pray. As we look at the Lord's Prayer from a 10,000-foot level, even just in physical print, you might notice that its lines are offset like poetry. Something about Hebrew poetry, like what we read in the Psalms, it often elaborates on the line that is before it. It is most likely that Jesus spoke Aramaic, but he would have been aware of this, surely. After all, Jesus is God, and he himself quoted the Psalms. Thus, to say, the Lord's Prayer is one that builds on itself. And the heart of all that it asks for is this: that God be glorified as his will is done. Each and every piece of the prayer ultimately centers there. That is to say that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, comes as a result of our Father's name being hallowed. Particularly in Matthew's gospel, we see the term kingdom of heaven much more than kingdom of God, as he emphasizes its heavenly origins. The Jewish expectation of the coming Messiah and the reign of God in fullness, in tandem with Israel's promised return from exile, with Jesus being the fulfillment of Israel's scriptures. In other words, it says something about God and about us that we get to pray a prayer and ask for God's kingdom to come on earth. Hamilton also points out that New Testament scholar Jonathan Pennington proposes that Matthew is repeatedly setting up a contrast between two realms, the heavenly and the earthly, which stand for God on the one hand and humanity on the other. Hamilton also makes the point that in Jesus and in his followers, heaven breaks through. Literally, when God took on flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of heaven did come near. Repenting means to turn the other way. It allows God to change our hearts, to refashion them to look more like Jesus. You may have heard me say before, at one time or another, that the kingdom of God is already, not yet. In some ways, it is already here, and in other ways, we wait for its coming in its fullness. Adam Hamilton also talks about this idea as he reminds us that the kingdom of God most often does not come in ways in which we can observe it. By physical, tangible means. Occasionally, we read about a miracle that Jesus has done for someone that is a sign of the kingdom of God. But more often than not, it comes through us as we live our lives rooted in God and walking in his ways. Adam Hamilton writes, quote, "Each time we pray the Lord's Prayer with meaning, we are yielding our lives to God's will, and in some small way, the kingdom is coming on earth as it is in heaven. In praying this prayer, we not only fix our hearts and minds on God's kingdom coming, but we also invite God to use us as instruments to fulfill the prayer. We see glimpses of the kingdom of God everywhere if we have eyes to see and ears to hear. We see it when we bless another person, when we give something of ourselves away so that they might know that Jesus loves them, when we pay for the person behind us, perhaps, in the drive-thru, when we hold the door for someone, when someone remembers our name, when we ask someone how they're doing and we intentionally wait for the answer and truly listen and respond appropriately. So often I think sometimes it's easy to ask how someone is doing and to get caught up and say, I'm fine, and then move on without actually listening. The beauty of the gospel is that God sees all of us. He truly sees us and all of our brokenness. But instead of turning away, he says, I formed you out of the dust of the earth in the secret place in your mother's womb. And I will love you whether you choose to love me back or not. He sees us, and he chooses us. We have the same opportunity in every moment to practice seeing people as God does. When we pray for the kingdom to come and God's will to be done with sincerity, the Holy Spirit moves in our hearts, calling our hands to action. Sometimes it's something as big as beginning something similar to Sunday friendship lunch because you see there's a need out there that you can help fill. Or maybe it's as simple as offering a smile and a hello to the person passing on the street. Like the musical Annie says, you're never fully dressed without a smile. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 9, offers a picture of what the kingdom will look like. He writes, the wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion will feed together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. That's the vision, friends. Isaiah is prophesying a world in which the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Even today, there are people who do not know him and his love. Someone has to tell them. As the song says, they will know we are Christians by our love. As we seek to revere the Lord's name, to spread the holiness of it throughout the earth, and we seek the will of the Lord, the kingdom of God comes in part. It will only come in its fullness when Jesus comes again. But he invites us in, here and now, to participate in the work that he is already doing. It is also important to be clear that not everything that happens on this earth and to us in this life is the result of God's perfect will as he would have it to be. Sometimes he allows things because he has given us free will. Our God is a redeeming God. He allows us to have free will because love is only ever freely given. But that also means we get to choose the exact opposite if we decide. And sometimes our suffering is simply due to the fact that we live in a broken world. But as the healing of the blind man in John chapter 9 reminds us, God is always, always glorified if we submit ourselves to him. When the disciples asked, "Who sinned that man would be born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him." What a mystery. What a thing to ponder. But it's okay not to have all the answers. It's okay to allow ourselves to live in the mystery of God because we can trust him. We can trust that God loves us and that he will bring good out of any situation that we place in his hands. As Isaiah said, "They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as it covers the sea." That's the vision and that's the promise that God has for us. And one day we will dwell together with him, and there will be nothing that will ever separate us again. I'm also reminded of a tangible reminder that I didn't mention, but that I think is significant. When we receive communion each month, in doing so, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And that's significant because in the liturgy, we proclaim that he will come again. And so that is our hope. And that's what we are invited to as those who partner with God in the work that he is already doing as his followers. And so this week, as we say the Lord's Prayer together today and throughout the week, I invite us to really ask the Lord how we can lean in, how each of us can participate in the gift of the work that he is calling us to do by saying yes to him. We're all called in some way to do the Lord's will. And we get to pray earnestly for thy kingdom come, to come on earth as it is in heaven, as much as possible, even as we wait for it to come in its fullness, being assured that it will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. As we come to a time of prayer together, I want to lift up two things in particular for us to pray for, and two notes of sympathy that we have. We'd like to extend our sympathies to the family of Reverend Doug Troublecock, who passed away on March 7th. I understand that he was a big part of our community and that he served for around 40 years as a pastor, serving 7 churches, including Midland Aldersgate and Clarkston UMCs. And then he and his wife, Kay, came here in their retirement. Also, we'd like to lift up our sympathies and prayers to the family of Mary Lou Angelotti, who passed away on March 11th. Let us join together in prayer. O God, our Father, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for this day and for the rain this morning that watered the earth so that new life can grow. Thank you for the flowers that will come as a result. And with the rain, may we remember our baptism and be thankful. Thankful that we are yours and are called to abide with Christ. Teach us, Lord, to walk with Jesus, relying completely on him, on the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for all of our needs, and being attentive to where you call our attention, and inspire us to be your hands and feet. Lord, for all those who have need today, we ask that you meet it with abundance, as Jesus has promised us. Help us to recognize the privilege that it is to be an answer to someone else's prayers. Help us to pray to be so. And place in us a deeper and deeper longing to shine your light to the world in all that we do and say. place in us a deeper and deeper longing for eternity. Teach us, O Lord, to expect your goodness, knowing that we rely on you for everything we have. But teach us to do so with the utmost humility, because we are dust, and to dust we shall return. Help us to repent and believe the gospel. Lord, we pray for the persecuted church today and ask that you bless all those who cannot worship as freely as we do here. Help us to be mindful of every good gift that we have and to thank you often. Thank you for the ways that you are leading us as individuals and as a congregation. Thank you for the ways that we are growing together through all your means of grace into the family that we get to be. Lord, today we especially lift up to you those in our family who grieve. The family of Reverend Doug Treblecock and the family of Mary Lou Angelotti. God of all comfort, comfort them. Comfort them and all of those who grieve in ways that only you can. You know us better than we know ourselves. Oh God, you are indeed our Father and our Creator. And Jesus did weep at the tomb of Lazarus. Show us where we can be a comfort to those around us as well. Thank you, Father God, that your kingdom is coming. It is. And yet, it is already here. Thank you that one day death will be no more. And for your Son and his sacrifice on the cross. And that he holds the keys of hell and death. And he is the resurrection and the life. And that those who believe in him will follow him to life eternal. Lord God, until then, thank you for the privilege that it is to walk with you here and now, and for the privilege that it is to pray as we are able, and for the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
Brothers and sisters of Christ, I invite you to stand as we sing our last song together. It is a contemporary song called "Build Your Kingdom Here."
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power. In us,
we
seek the kingdom.
We seek the kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and prize. To see the captives' hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church. We pray, revive this earth.
I'm going to ask you to get your hands ready. We're going to start clapping.
Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and the land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the
unleash.
Unleash your kingdom's power, reaching the near and far. No force of hell can stop the beauty changing hearts. You made us for much more than this. Awake the kingdom seed in us. Fill us with the strength and love of Christ. Church, we are the hope on earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation.
Friends, I invite you with holy joy and expectation and hope to go forth into the world and listen for God. Look for the ways that he is inviting you to lean in, because the kingdom of God is coming in its fullness. And we have reason for rejoicing with that. But it is also already right here. And we get to be a part of it. So let us go rejoicing today and looking for ways we can join God in the work that he is already doing. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.